I'm Jamelyn Steffen, and this is Want to Wanted, episode number 88, Your Path. Welcome to Want to Wanted, a podcast for women of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who are ready to ignite not only their sexual desire, but all of their desires to create a more fulfilling life and marriage. I'm Jamelyn Steffen. I'm a certified life coach, a wife, and a mother of 7 children. I'm excited to share my personal journey to desire with you and teach you how to desire more as well. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to October. When is this coming out? The 17th. I'm recording this a week ahead. It's a bit of a gloomy day. But yes, October 17th. We are officially over the halfway point of October. And for those of you in America, your Thanksgiving is creeping up. Ours just passed. And it feels like Christmas is creeping up. So fun times. Fun times. Seeing as how we just celebrated Thanksgiving, I want to tell you how grateful I am to each of you who listen to this podcast. Whether this is the only one that you ever hear, or whether you listen to lots of them, I just am so thankful that you will give your time to me. And I hope that at least some part of what you hear is helpful to you. I really love to coach. I love to help people one-on-one. But realistically, I can't help everyone one-on-one. And there are people out there that can only really afford free help. And I've been in that position in my life a lot. And this podcast really does allow me to help more people for no money. And I really love that. But I also want you all to know that I do have some open slots in my one-on-one coaching program that I would love for you to have. Now, if you don't know what coaching is like or what it entails, I can just kind of give you a brief explanation. Okay, so coaching is similar to therapy in that a coach is going to help you with problems in your life. But therapy is often more focused on the past and on healing the past and learning tools to help you cope better in your life. It's also often used to help people who feel like they are kind of living below their emotional baseline, that they're just not functioning at the level they feel like is normal or healthy. So sometimes as a coach, I will have somebody come to me for help. And after talking with them, I will suggest that they would actually probably be a better fit with a therapist because they need help that really only a good therapist is going to be able to give them. Coaching, on the other hand, is more for people who feel like life is fine, but it could be better. Now, I have had clients and I've had my own days when I feel like life is far from fine and coaching has been quite helpful. But in general, coaching is meant to help you get from where you are to where you want to go. So I've coached many women in their intimate relationships, right? They love their husbands, they want to be married, but they feel like they need help with intimacy and with desire. So things in their marriage are livable, but they want something more. And coaching is great for that. So if you have a goal you want to achieve, if you want to start a business, if you want to stop yelling at your kids or stop trying to micromanage everyone in your family, if you want to stop people-pleasing or you want to drop perfectionism, or maybe you want to learn how to be in the room with a really difficult sister-in-law or increase your sexual desire or be more proactive, coaching is for you then. And I would just love to help you because I specialize generally in helping with marriage, but I have literally coached on almost everything. Like I've coached on laundry overwhelm to pornography use. So if you think you want to try coaching, if you're curious to see what it's like, just click on the link in my show notes or go to my website and click on the link to book a free mini session or a free consultation. It'll say one of those on it. And this is just a 25-minute video call we do on Zoom, and it will just give you a chance to meet me and try out coaching. And it will give me an opportunity to give you some free help and to see if you are a good fit for coaching with me. It really is honestly really very low risk. You just have to pay with your time, which is valuable. And that's why I will make sure that you leave with some good help, no matter if you decide to continue with me or not. So come and meet me, and I would love to meet you and see if you're a good fit to coach with me. Okay, let's get on to the meat of this podcast. Today, I want to talk about your path, or their path, as we sometimes have to say. And this has been on my mind for a little while now, and I have a way that I'm thinking about my path or their path now that I feel has been really helpful for me. It is certainly not the only way to think about the paths that we take in life, but this is a way of thinking about it that's really working for me right now, and so I want to share it with you. I want you to imagine that you are on a path. You can put your path wherever in the world you want it to be. And as you walk this path, you are going to have times when you feel very invigorated and strong. And you're going to have times when you feel tired and want to rest. You're going to go up steep inclines and drastic declines. You're going to have times when you are in the shade and times when the sun is scorching you. The rain is going to come. The wind will come. The calm, gentle evenings are going to come. Sometimes you may have to scramble up rocks or make your way down cliffs that feel a bit treacherous. You may pass by parts of the trail that seem familiar, almost like you've been there before, but you know that you haven't because you are further down the path than you used to be. But it just seems almost like, I think I've been here before. There will be flowers to pick and berries to eat, and maybe a quick dip in the ocean or a stream along the way. There will be sand and dirt and rocks and gravel and boulders and pavement. There will be times when you have to navigate a difficult climb and times when you will feel like you're holding on for dear life until you can kind of figure out the next foothold or handhold to reach for. There will be forks in your path, a lot, and you're going to get to decide which direction you're going to go. And you will understand as you're on this path that you're never lost, there are no wrong turns, there's no going in circles, and you never, ever go backwards. You are just always moving forward. You are going to experience all sorts of emotions on this path, all the human emotions, wonder, disappointment, grief, joy, stress, anxiety, relief, shame, pride, confidence, humility, all of it. It's all going to be a part of this path that is your life, this path that is perfect for you to become the person you want to become. Okay, so come back to me for a minute and let me share with you an experience that I recently had. I was driving home and I was thinking about a part of me that I knew that I wanted to make some changes to. Really, it's a part of me that I've been working on for some time to just become better than it is right now. And I said these words in my head, I just have to get this figured out. And in that moment, I felt totally stuck. I felt like I could make no progress until I got this figured out. I felt like I was on my path of life, trying to get to the place where the best me resides, but I would never be able to get there because I was stuck in one spot on my path and there was no moving forward until I got it figured out. And I immediately had the idea come to me that I was not thinking about this right. I was thinking that figuring something out was a deterrent to my progress. I was thinking I was stuck and making no progress. I was thinking that I was wasting precious time and doing something wrong because I couldn't figure this out fast enough. But the thought that came to my mind after I thought this was that figuring this out was my path. I wasn't stuck. I'm not holding still. We really never can hold still on this path of life, right? We're always moving along it. I just happened to be on the stretch of the path that required me to learn a new way of thinking and being. And that was my journey. The figuring out was the journey. It was the path. Like, I hope this is making a small amount of sense. Like, it was so clear in my mind, but I find myself feeling really inadequate as I try to explain this. But what I realized in that moment was that figuring something out, even something that feels complex or difficult, isn't keeping any of us stuck or behind or off the path or deterring our progress. Figuring something out is the progress. It is the path. It just doesn't look like we thought the path would look. But when you look at life as a path that you walk, always, and especially as the perfect path for you to walk, you start to see that all we learn, no matter how hard it feels or how long it takes, is just a stretch of our path. And so in the car that day, I felt this huge weight lift off my shoulders because I wasn't stuck. I wasn't being held back. I was just on the part of the path where I had to figure this out. And whether it takes me 10 days or 10 years, once I get it figured out, I will be further down my path than I was before because we're always walking the path. So for those of you who feel like you have to figure out how to stop losing your temper with your kids, or you feel like you have to figure out how to start that business, or figure out how to talk more openly to your husband, or for those of you who are trying to figure out what you desire, like what you really, truly desire, or for those of you who have figured it out, right? You're like, I know what I desire, but now I'm trying to figure out how to get it. You are not stuck. Nothing is going wrong. You are always going to get to this part of the path, you know, this figuring it out part. This is exactly where you are supposed to be, and you're moving along a really important part of your path right now. So stop trying to rush it. Stop shaming yourself because you haven't got it figured out yet. Stop feeling like you're missing out on the better parts of the path ahead, and just settle down and know, like, this is my journey right now. This is exactly the spot on the path I am supposed to be, and I am making progress. Another reason I like to think about pathways in this way is when I hear my clients say to me, how come I'm back here again? And they say this, and I say this, when I'm back into a thought pattern or a behavior that I thought I had rid myself of. Like, why are we fighting about sex again? Why am I struggling to believe in myself again? Why am I suddenly losing my temper again? How did I get back here? And we say this like we've turned around on our path and walked backwards, away from progress. Or we say this like we've just walked in a circle, like, haven't I seen that tree before? This looks so familiar. Oh, crud. I've gone in a circle. I'm not making any progress at all. All that energy, and I'm back where I started. Do you see how defeating that is? If you genuinely think you've got yourself turned around on a path in the mountains, or that you're going to take a path that's just going to end up turning you in a circle and bringing you right back to where you started, why in the world would you ever want to keep going? Why would you put in the energy and time just to end up right back where you began? But so many of us tell ourselves that we are just going in circles, or that we're going backwards instead of forwards, and it's so discouraging. It makes it hard for us to want to make any efforts to change, and it seems to give us instead a reason to beat ourselves up. There is a road south of where I live that you drive along in the mountains, and it goes through a series of small mining towns, and I kid you not when I tell you, they all look the same to me. Now, I know people that are from down there would not agree with me, but I would never know which town we were driving through if not for the signs. And I could see how a small child in the back seat might actually believe that we were just driving in circles. But the truth is, each time we go through these towns that seem to be the same town, we are closer to our destination. We are further down the road. And this is the same thing with us. Each time we end up in what we might say is back where we started, it's just not true. We are always further down the road. And often we are back in our way of thinking or in our behavior because we're facing a bigger stress or problem than we have before. And so our brains revert back to our factory settings on how to cope. And it's just a new opportunity to learn how to think and act in the ways we really want to under a higher level of demand. So I was just in a session today with a woman who is in a relatively new position at work and is suddenly feeling very inadequate. And as we talked, she said that when she had first done her training in her profession, she felt so inadequate next to her teachers and fellow students. But then, over time, she began to feel competent, and that increased her confidence. And as she filled that initial role that she was trained to fill, she just got more and more confident in that space and had a good opinion of herself and her skills. But now she's in a role that's requiring more of her. She has to learn some new ways of being, and she's more in a teaching role now. And this new role is pushing up against her belief in herself. It's shaking her confidence a little. And suddenly she's questioning if she ever really was good at her job and just waiting for everyone to find out that she's been a fraud from the beginning. And she just kept saying to me, how am I back here? But she's not back anywhere. Her brain's default when put under higher and higher pressure is to doubt her ability. That's her default. She hasn't gone backwards. It's actually just proof that she's moved forward and is now doing something more complicated than she was before. So now she has to learn how to believe in herself and her abilities while under a new level of expectation and stress. So you are never back there or back here, okay? You're just at a new level on your path, and your brain is doing what it does best, freaking out and going back to default mode. The good news is, if you have overcome this before, you will overcome it again, and most likely you will do it faster this time. Another reason I like to think about paths the way I described at the beginning, of kind of just this continuous, always going in this direction, walking forward type of way, is it's so helpful in my parenting, especially as I parent teens and young adults. As a parent, it is easy to think your child is on the wrong path or not progressing on their path or missing out on opportunities because they just won't pick a path. I actually think this is all nonsense, mostly because I feel like it's not helpful to parents. What feeling comes into your body when you think the thought, my child is on the wrong path? Fear, anger, anxiety, frustration, doubt, judgment, shame? How about a big dose of guilt? None of those feelings will ever lead you to your best action as a parent, I promise. Because remember, our thoughts create our feelings, and our feelings drive our actions, and those actions give us the results we want in our life. So when you think your child is on the wrong path and you feel afraid, you're going to act afraid, which mostly will look like you trying to be controlling. And when we try to be controlling of our children, the results are never good for us, ever. And the same thing happens when we think they are not progressing or they're missing opportunities and are just stuck because they won't choose a path. What if they are already on a path? And what if it is the right path? Even if you don't like the part of the path they are currently walking, even if in your heart you wish they had taken the other side of that fork in the road, that doesn't mean they're on the wrong path and that they aren't progressing or that they're going backwards or in circles. They are on their path. They are progressing. I love the scripture in the Doctrine and Covenants. And for those of you not of my faith, the Doctrine and Covenants is a book of scripture that we refer to. And it talks about all the really difficult, hard things that could possibly come into Joseph Smith's life. And in verse 7 of section 122, it says, "And if thou should be cast into the pit or into the hands of murderers, and if the sentence of death passed upon thee, if thou be cast into the deep, if the billowing surge conspire against thee, if the fierce winds become thine enemy, if the heavens gather blackness and all the elements combine to hedge up the way, and above all, if the very jaws of hell shall gape open the mouth wide after thee, know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience and shall be for thy good." I just love and want so much to believe that all of the experience we have on our pathway of life are made for our good. Even the experiences that we choose that are difficult, that may even be quote unquote wrong. I want to believe that, especially for my kids. I remember a woman in church who was having some difficulties with the paths that her children were choosing at the time. And she shared something that really made me think. She said, "I've come to believe that all paths lead to Jesus Christ." And I really had to think about that. But I thought, you know what? I actually think she's right. First of all, I know in my heart that God is never uninterested in us. He never throws his hands up and says like, well, forget it. You're taking the wrong path. You're on your own. No, he is always reaching out. He's always guiding and loving and trying to direct and calling us to him. So he's always on the path with us and with our children, no matter what. Plus, because he's always there with us and with them, at any junction, our children have the opportunity to choose the path that tilts them back toward a more deliberate place of goodness and happiness with more Jesus in it. And in the end, I do believe we all will see Jesus, the end of our mortal journey, and we will have the opportunity to really accept him as our Savior if we want. And so I think she's right. All paths lead to Christ. So if all paths lead to Christ, or if you aren't Christian, if all paths lead to spirit or goodness or to our best selves, then is there really ever a wrong path? You can decide if you like how it feels to believe that or not. For me personally, I don't want to ever think about my children being on the wrong path or to think they're missing out because they won't choose the path I think they should or that they're somehow stuck. I want to believe that no matter where their path is currently heading, no matter how hard it seems for them, that it is ultimately for their good. I really believe that they are always moving down the path, that they're always on a path. And here's why. Because it feels hopeful. It allows me to express confidence to them and in them because I don't have this story that they're on some path they aren't supposed to be on or that they're stuck and not progressing. If I truly believe that where they are was always going to be a part of their journey and it's perfect for them because it's going to make something of them, I can let go of the control and let them have the journey they obviously need and were meant to have. The second to last reason I think about paths the way I do, meaning as one continuous journey, not one where you get lost or go in circles or get off track, is when things happen that we weren't expecting. Life continually seems to take us to the edge of cliffs we either need to descend down or climb up. And it can be really easy to say to ourselves, you know what? This doesn't seem right. I think I'm off track here. This wasn't supposed to be on my path. And again, just like with your child, you can decide that you don't love the path you're on. That's fine. But you don't have to believe that it's the wrong path. You don't have to love the path all the time. It's okay for that it feels hard. It's okay to have days that you want to quit. It's okay to have days where you want to rage about it. But I don't think it's useful or helpful to say, this wasn't supposed to be my path, because it is your path. You are where you are, and it's exactly where you're supposed to be. Otherwise, you would be somewhere else on a different path. Now, I'm not trying to say this to minimize the very real, serious, painful cliffs many of you have had to face in your life and on your path. Physical disability, chronic illness, sickness, disease, the death of a loved one, job loss, divorce, estrangement from children or other family members, crisis of faith, infertility, bullies, failure, poverty, mental illness, yours or others, caring for someone with severe handicaps, addictions. I mean, we really could go on for a long time. These challenging parts of everyone's paths are difficult and overwhelming and exhausting. But if you want to make them feel even worse, tell yourself something's going wrong. Tell yourself this wasn't supposed to be your path. Because like Byron Katie says, when you argue with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time. Okay, I want to say that again. When you argue with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time. I'm not telling you you have to love it, and I'm not telling you you have to want to do it again once you're through it, but it is more helpful to accept that this was always meant to be a part of your journey, that this is your path, and that it's the best path for you. And remember, just like our children, we are never really walking our paths on our own. God always provides other people, and He's always with us, especially on the hard climbs. The last reason I like to think about our path being perfect, just as it is it stops us from getting all tied up in, what if I pick the wrong path? And I'm not talking about like, what if I pick to murder someone type of wrong path? I'm talking about, what if I take something in school and I end up hating it? Or what if I move to a city and I don't like my neighborhood? What if I decide to order a steak but wish I'd ordered the chicken instead? Like those types of decisions. Because like I said in the beginning, every path has forks we're going to come upon, and we get to choose which way we're going to go. Now, I did a podcast quite a while ago on making decisions and indecision, and then I did one more recently on regret. And I want to tell you again that most of the time, either path is going to be great, and you can just decide ahead of time not to regret it and to know that another fork in the road will appear and give you the opportunity to redirect when you're ready to or if you want to. But regardless, the path is perfect for you, and either path you go on will be full of learning opportunities and goodness and hard things. I was recently discussing Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken, with my son. And as we were discussing it, he's just said to me, you know, I don't actually think I understand that poem because I did not understand it the same way that my teacher did. And so I thought, this seems like a pretty obvious poem to understand. So I pulled the poem up on my phone and we read it together. And I just was thinking, I'm just going to clarify this for you. You know, like he took the road less traveled and that made all the difference, right? But there was a line in the poem that confused me. So we did a little research. And according to a few things we found out about the poem, I realized that maybe I have misunderstood this poem all this time, and that maybe my son had the right idea about it. So I'm going to read it to you. Sorry to those of you who love and read poetry beautifully, because you get Miss Math to read this to you today. But I want to tie it back to the idea of taking the wrong path, because I think we can use this very poem to say that there's a right or wrong path to take that's going to make all the difference. And it's probably the one that most people aren't on. And maybe that's true in some ways, but let's just listen to the poem and we'll talk about it after and see what you think. Okay. The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. So the line that stood out to me was, though as for that passing there had warned them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay. And as we looked into those lines, we discovered through the help of greater minds than ours that the narrator had two paths in front of him that looked different in some ways. And one looked like maybe it hadn't been traveled as much, but as he got going down the path, found that there had warned them really about the same. And he knew that in picking the second path and how paths kind of lead onto other paths, that he would never get back to go down that first path. And so he implies that as an old man, instead of regretting the fact that he didn't take the first path, he would just sigh and tell his posterity that he'd taken the road less traveled by and that it had made all the difference, when in reality, he'd just chosen to take a path that appealed to him more and followed it as path led to path to create the life that he had now. There really wasn't a right or wrong path. The poem could just as easily say, I took the second path and it brought me this amazing life, just like the first could have, should I have taken that instead. Anyway, I don't want to minimize the importance we feel when making decisions, but I do want you to know that when we choose the best we can, knowing we can't choose perfectly or see into the future, that any path we choose can be the best for us if we just let it be that and trust that no matter what, it will give us experience and be for our good and make all the difference. I hope this was a little helpful or at least got you thinking. If your path or someone you love's path is rocky or curvy or steep or a bit treacherous right now, trust that this is the path, that you are progressing, that they are progressing, and that neither of you are ever stuck or going backwards or going in circles. You're exactly where you're supposed to be right now, and there's always opportunities to choose new directions when you are ready for that or wanting that. But just trust that your path is perfect for you right now, whatever your experience of it is, and it's the same for the people you love. Have a good week, everybody. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening today. If you like what you hear on the podcast and you'd like to learn more, feel free to head over to my website, jamelynsteffencoaching.com, or find me on Instagram or Facebook at jamelynsteffencoaching.